You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dottiglia along with Charlie Long at 520. We'll be joined by Mark Schlereff, our NFL Odyssey insider, talking about the NFL, Super Bowl, and certainly the Saints, Kellen Moore, which all got finalized officially today. And now we're just kind of waiting. The press conference will be to officially bring him in town will be Thursday at 11:30, I think is the time frame. And then we'll start to see interviews that Coach Moore will do with assistant coaches to go through the process of hiring assistants at this time. And how that sort of shapes out. At 6:35, Jeff Nowak will join Steve and Charlie on Sports Talk and talking certainly about what we've talked about, Kellen Moore and the Saints. And at 7:25, Ben McDonnell, ESPN and SEC Network college baseball analyst, will join us, talk about the 2025 LSU baseball team. And they got a lot of buzz about the Tigers. And we'll have Jay Johnson on with us. I think it's Thursday, I think at 5:20, Coach Johnson. And I'm going to tell him again, keep winning. Man, listen, dog days of summer. Come on, Coach. You got to win into well into June. You can't leave me hanging because that's some long summer days if the Tigers aren't playing.
The College World Series, Mike, this year goes into late June. It's like the weekend.
Man, I hope so.
It's like the weekend after Juneteenth. I think it's like the weekend of the 22nd or something like that is when the College World Series finals kind of wrap
up. You got to throw me the life raft, Coach, and I'm going to tell him. I've already sent him that message, but he got a kick out of it.
No, we're going to be having Jay's presser tomorrow, so it's going to be interesting. I'm really looking forward to talking with Big Ben later on in the show about the pitching staff. Mike, they're loaded. like they're loaded on the mound, and I can't wait to break it all down with Big Ben. But then also kind of hearing from Jay, and you know, he likes to keep a lot of things close to vest, so to speak.
Gotta ask him the right questions, Charles.
Yeah, I know.
Because if you ask it
to him, he's a tough nut to crack.
No, you got to be on the mark with it and ask him a specific, because if you let him squirt, that's what coaches do.
Because that's what people will always ask us on the coaches text line. It's just like, who's going to be the first, like, opening night starting pitcher? Who's going to be, you know, in the starting lineup for opening night? And that's what everyone wants to know. And I think Jay has an idea. It's a loaded roster, so he's got plenty of depth and plenty of talent at different positions. At the same time, it changes. That's one thing I want everyone to know. When you follow a full college baseball season, it's about 4 months.
Yeah, he's very fluid with what he does.
Yes.
As a coach.
Now, once you kind of get into SEC play, that's when you want it to be, you know, solidified.
Routine.
Right, and you kind of get into the week-to-week grind of conference play. So at that point, sure. But kind of early season, who you might see, you know, Friday, Saturday night, maybe even Sunday, like, it could potentially change. Things change throughout the season. So
those SEC matchups this year.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
A&M.
Arkansas.
Goodness.
Tennessee.
Tennessee
champions.
Ain't going nowhere. I mean, they've lost some stuff there, but you can bet they're going to be in the hunt again.
They're like LSU, man. They won a national championship. They lost a lot of talent, but they just kind of reloaded.
And you hear that ch-ch It's not a rebuild.
Reload.
Yeah. Let's go to our Oakwood Hard Jewelers talking text line. Let's go to Jimmy and Gretna. Jimmy in the huddle with Mike and Charlie. I almost said Mike and Bobby, but Bob got the day off today. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Hey, guys. Yeah, look, listen, I'll make it quick. Congratulations, Kellen Moore. You know, it's a business, right? And I think whatever they decide to do with Derek Carr, which I want to get your take when I disconnect, do you guys see us trying to maybe possibly move him? Or do you see like a one-year situation where Kellen Moore maybe brings in somebody through the draft or free agency to kind of learn if they go in the draft direction? Or do we stick with Spencer Rattler? Or do you see us, you know, kind of making a clean slate? Because, you know, Kellen Moore's a former quarterback. You got to assume he wants to put his stamp on that position. And, you know, like I said, it's a business, guys. And, you know, I talked to some other Saints fans, and, you know, like even with Dennis Allen gone, people, you know, the suggestion maybe Rizzi comes back or McCarthy, some retreads that had a history here. Nobody was really excited between that and Derek Carr and an aging roster. We've got a lot of guys with big contracts. And I think that would equate into lack of season ticket sales, a lot of people dipping out on planning that 10 games.
No, Jimmy, what you bring up is a good point. There is a reality check. And, you know, there is some certainly vibe around bringing in Kellen Moore, but also the reality check that this team isn't going to turn it around in 1 year. And, you know, if you're a season ticket holder and you're spending a lot of money, you understand – okay, 2006, and I've told this to Coach Payton before, it was the best coaching job he ever did.
Right.
Man, that team was flat on his back in 05. He comes in here, 29 new players on the roster. He did have Drew Brees, and that certainly was a big plus for him. This team went to the NFC Championship game. That, to me, was unbelievable. To make that type of turnaround, we saw it a year ago. The Houston Texans did almost the exact same thing.
Washington Commanders.
They got C.J. Stroud. This year, it was the Commanders.
Yep.
Jaden Daniels. And for that to happen again, it is a reality check that it's gonna take some time to redo this roster because you don't have that core group of young players, 27 years of age and younger, that you can build around, and you don't have your quarterback. The one thing the Texans, because they pick so high, and you know the owner of the Panthers, he wanted Bryce to go to Carolina. Okay, so it doesn't matter what the coach, GM wanted. The owner wanted Bryce, and that's where Bryce ended up. They got CJ. And again, with Chicago, they got Caleb. And the Commanders got Jaden. That was a real big plus for both teams to turn those seasons around, just like Drew Brees coming here to the Saints in 06.
And that's a great point, Mike. I mean, look at all those coaches. You know, D'Amico Ryans, Dan Quinn, and then Sean Payton. All very, very solid head coaches. At the same time, those one-year turnarounds, look at who the signal callers were. Drew Brees, C.J. Stroud, and Jaden Daniels. So, no, I don't think it's realistic for expectations to be Moore comes in and you win the NFC South in his first year, right? And you turn it around and you win 10 games right off the bat just because I don't think – and it's going to be
interesting. You don't have enough.
You don't have enough on the roster for Derek Carr to be that type of guy. Real fun fact right before we hit Schlereth, by the way. Mike, I saw this on social media earlier. Kellen Moore played Derek Carr in college.
He sure did.
As part of his 50-3 record at Boise State, he beat Derek Carr's Fresno State Bulldogs 57-7. So that's just kind of a fun fact. But going back to your point,
they beat a lot of teams. Man, Boise State
rolling. 50-3.
And to think about their offense, and it was sort of innovative at that time. They spread you out a bunch of different ways. But you know what they did really well, too? They ran the ball.
Yeah.
It wasn't just a passing or pass happy team. They were able to run the football very well at Boise State, and so. But I agree with you, Charlie. What we talked about with new coaches and the quarterbacks in place. That's not here today.
It's not.
Snot.
I didn't realize this, Mike. Doug Martin was on those Boise State teams.
Yep.
He was a great running back for the Buccaneers when I was first starting to play fantasy football in the early 2010s.
Well, why you had him?
Yeah. No, that's a throwback back to the past. But real quick, yeah, I mean, as you mentioned, Mike, I don't think it's realistic to expect that type of turnaround instantly, just because I don't think you have the signal caller to be able to do that. And I think that's just being honest.
Yeah, and there is that reality check. And, you know, people, and what Jimmy brought up about season ticket holders, that you're going to have to make that decision. Now, you just hope that maybe things can turn around quickly, but there are some pieces here that are not in place, that were in place for those three other teams.
Exactly. And unfortunately, the draft is not necessarily quarterback heavy this year, where you can look at last year and the six quarterbacks that went in the top 12 and how Bo Nix turned around the Broncos and how Caleb Williams had still a strong rookie campaign despite the Bears not being very good.
And this year with the Titans, because they're going to control everything, do they think Cam Ward is that guy?
They might. And if they do, take him at 101.
You know, because if they think he's the guy, even though he's probably not number one on their board or two or maybe even three, if you think he's the guy, you got to pick him.
But, Mike, and I think you'll agree with me here, you can't force it either if you're the Saints. You're picking at 9. I'm not of the mindset that you give up a bunch of future assets to move up in this draft and take him.
Nobody's
going to
do that.
I'm not going to do it.
Nobody's
going to do that. So you can't force it either. Like, you see all the success that D'Amico Ryans and Dan Quinn had in their first years with those two franchises with the rookie quarterbacks. At the same time, Kellen Moore coming in, maybe he'll have a quarterback that he likes in this draft class.
And maybe it's not in round one.
Maybe it's not in round one. This is the developmental draft class. This is where you can take a guy on day two, you know, and have him sit, right, for a certain period of time and develop. I don't think it's the type of situation where the Saints are looking at Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders saying, we got to move up from 9 to just kind of fill this kind of quota. So that's at least how I see it.
I agree with you. We'll be back, and we'll have on with us Mark Schlereff, our Odyssey NFL insider, right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 3-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettey along with Charlie Long in studio. We are joined on our Oakwood Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line by our Odyssey NFL insider, Mark Schlereff, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. Mark, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon, and certainly the news, no surprise, but it was official today. Kellen Moore, new head coach of the Saints, and I'll get your thoughts. I know you've talked about it before. My thing is, a lot of people bring up the fact about him being a leader, but if you're the quarterback, man, ain't you the leader already? I mean, you know, you've done that on the field, and all eyes are on you now. The one thing about pro football, college football, high school football, man, it's team dependent. I mean, everybody else got to make it work for you. But the leader there is the quarterback. And Kellen's been in that spot before.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, he understands it. He gets it. And I think one of the cool things that's happened for Kellen Moore here is Kellen Moore really was known more as a passing guy. And he goes to Philadelphia, and Nick Sirianni, you know, says, well, that's not really how we're built. We're built. We got Saquon. We want to build it this way. And to have that kind of structure and have that change, and not that he didn't know how to run, and I'm not saying that, but that his offense was more dependent upon throwing the football. And so to watch that metamorphosis, to me, is so important. How do you, you know, create – offensively, how do you create that great mixture, that great marriage between your run game and your play action game, and your play pass game, and how do you kind of, you know, bring that all together? And you know, this is probably why it's taken a while for him to get this opportunity. Like, those are things you have to learn, and you only learn those through experience. You know, there's a lot of people in the league that are like, oh man, I really want to run the ball better. A lot of O coordinators, I really want to run the ball better. But when push comes to shove, they don't. They can't wait to give up on the run game. And in that Super Bowl right there, I think it was one of my keys of the game, attempts. I talked about attempts a bunch on television, on different radio stations across America. Can you get Saquon Barkley 25-plus attempts? Can you get him 30 touches? And he averaged 2.3 yards a carry and still found his way to get 25 carries, 6 catches. And what that does for you from a protection standpoint, I mean, I guarantee you one thing, Patrick Mahomes would have liked to get 25 carries so he didn't get on it, you know, get hit in the mouth so many times. So, like, that's commitment. And most offensive coaches say they want to have that commitment, but they truly don't want to have that commitment. And that, to me, was – that's a great – that's a huge maturity process. That's just big-time performance.
Mark, one of the things in that game which certainly jumped out was the dominance of the Eagles' defensive front, where you didn't have to blitz one time. They tsunamied the Chiefs' offensive line. It looked like they had 6 guys rushing on every play, and that was really only 4. And what that does to the psyche of a quarterback, but having played offensive linemen, you see that sort of situation where a team is dominating you up front. You don't have a running game, didn't even try for the most part, and you know they play in Sikkim. And you got guys like Carter and Davis and Milton Williams, who I think is an unsung part of that defensive line, Josh Sweat, and they just keep coming at you. Mahomes had no shot in that game, 0, to make it work because you could not block. They, you know, basically falling 7 in coverage and rushing 4, but it looked like it was 6 or 7 rushing instead of 4 on every play.
Yeah, they did it. The Philadelphia did a great job. Vic Fangio did a great job. It was one of my keys also was, you know, Vic Fangio's time in Denver and how many times as the head coach / play caller he played in Kansas City and played against the Chiefs. Now, they didn't win any of those games, but man, they played them tight. And defensively, they weren't very talented, but they played them really well. Now you have that kind of understanding, that kind of game planning with great defensive players on all 3 levels. And I thought they did such a great job of marrying their defensive front to their back end. There were so many times where I'm watching them play that zone, but they're getting hands on receivers. Nobody's getting free releases. They're getting hands on receivers. They're riding receivers for that 5 yards, and then they're falling off into their zone spots. And by the time they did that, disrupting those quick throws, disrupting those routes, that pass rush was already there. And I will say this, you know, there's a lot of people that will make excuses for the coaching staff. Well, they couldn't run the ball. You know, they didn't get very many attempts. One of the things I heard is, well, they didn't convert any 3rd downs, so they couldn't get their attempts. And I'm like, baloney. Hey, man, they were 3 of 11 converting 3rd downs. You know what Philadelphia was? 3 of 12. They got their attempts. Hey, right. They weren't getting enough yards per carry. You know what Philly got from Saquon? 2.3 yards per carry. So don't tell me you can't do it. You didn't want to do it. That's not the way you wanted to win. So I thought Andy Reid did a horrible job of coaching. I thought he got completely outcoached in that particular game. And, boy, by the way, when a defense is just pinning their ears back and they are just coming upfield, then you start running plays inside trap and you get somebody in the ear hole. That's how you slow them down. Or you motion a tight end from wide all the way down and you crack on a defensive end where he's not looking. And you ear hole that son of a gun, and then you pitch the ball outside. You find different ways to attack them in the run game. And it was almost as though, hey, man, that's not how we want to win. We'll give you a couple of courtesy tries, but that's not what we're doing. I thought the Kansas City Chiefs got completely outclassed from a coaching standpoint.
Mark, one of the things, I talked to Richie Pettibone about this for years, about when you play in that big game, everybody sees it. And he said, boy, you better fix it because you know what? In that big stage, everybody's got peeping eyes. They've seen how you got attacked. I look at the Chiefs. They better rebuild that offensive line, and they better get a running back that can carry the load because you know what? Not everybody's got that defensive line and that defense of the Eagles, but they're going to try to attack you the exact same way. The exact same thing. I know Richie said, you know, how many times we would see it early in the season if how we ended the season wasn't right, that Joe Gibbs was great about, hey, we do certain things right, but we have to adjust to what went wrong in that big game because that's the last memory, the last film they have of us.
Yeah, you know, you go back to that Super Bowl 2020 against Tampa Bay Buccaneers, same thing, right? They had three sacks, but they were constantly putting Patrick Mahomes under duress. And in that particular game, their linebackers were playing with such depth that they were inviting you to rush it for 5.5, 6.5, 7 yards a carry. And Andy Reid didn't want to run it then either. Yep. He just flat chose not to. And, you know, a little bit different scenario this time around. But again, I just know this. When you're getting just run through from a pass rushing standpoint, so when you give up six sacks, hey, your offensive line stunk, but your coaching staff stunk. Your play calling stunk. And like, I know one thing. Sometimes when they're really rushing the passer, you got to say, hey, man, we're going to make a commitment, and we're going to take the starch out of these fellas, right? We're going to get them on the ground. We're going to cut a few guys, get them on the ground. We're going to, you know, ear hole a few guys. We're going to do some stuff to slow these sons of guns down. And they never did. They just lined up and were satisfied with just giving up pass rush after pass rush after pass rush. It was a complete and total domination. And I will tell you this, man. You know, I mix it up on social media. And I get, I get under the skin a lot of youngsters, right, young fellas. And I do it all the time just because it entertains me. And I get called old head all the time. Oh, you're just an old head. Well, let me tell you from what this old head, something that'll never go in and out of style. When you guys try to tell me, oh, the game's passed you by. You don't know what you're talking about, stink. Let me tell you what plays all the time. When you line up and whoop somebody's ass, I don't care who your quarterback is. I don't care. You could have Stretch Armstrong playing quarterback for you. You whoop that ass on that line of scrimmage, guess what happens? You lose, you know. If you're the one that's getting his ass whooped, you're going to lose. And that's exactly what Philly did, man. That was a beatdown of epic proportions.
Insider Calls with Mark Slareth are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or any other grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day delicious this football season. Charlie?
Mark, throughout the week at Radio Row, every Eagles reporter that we talked to, and even some Chiefs reporters, basically were echoing the same thing. Like, you know, the Chiefs have the quarterback, they have the head coach, but the Eagles have the roster. And Howie Roseman deserves as many flowers as possible for what he's done in the NFL draft in the last 5 years. He became the GM in 2019, but if you just look at the last 5 years and look at the draft picks the Eagles have had, they've hit on so many premium picks. It's not a shock that their roster is as loaded as it is with young talent. Like, everyone kind of goofs on the Jalen Reagor pick with Justin Jefferson and everything like that. That happened in 2020. Right. But outside of that second round pick that year, Jalen Hurts. The year after, Devontae Smith, Landon Dickerson, Milton Williams, all contributors. The year after that, yeah. Jordan Davis, Cam Jurgens, N'Kobe Dean. The year after that, Jalen Carter, Nolan Smith. The year after that, they had a terrible defensive back room last year. Oh, they just go and pick Quinyon Mitchell in the first round and Cooper DeJean in the second round, and now they have the best defense in football. The job that Howie Roseman has done can't be understated, and how he built this roster, which is loaded from top to bottom at every position. It is impossible to do mock drafts for the Eagles because you're just like, what do they need? Because he's drafted so well in the past 5 years.
Man, put an SEC guy in there. Because other than last year's draft, he
loves his Georgia boys.
It's almost like Georgia East with all the Georgia players he got. But those guys, he understands. They understand about winning, and they well coached.
Well, there's no question. The other thing that happens to most teams, guys, and you've seen this, when you have a position of strength and you're constantly chasing other positions, you know, and you're missing on those positions, so you're chasing wide receivers or you're chasing, you know, whatever the position is you're missing, what you're doing is you're neglecting adding depth to your team because you keep on missing and keep on chasing positions. And that's something that Howie Roseman hasn't done. He hasn't missed many times. And so when you have that hit rate, you know, you can look at a position of strength, and I'll give you an example. You know, when they drafted Cam Jurgens, Jason Kelce was still kicking ass. he was still awesome. And they drafted him anyway. They developed him. They played him at guard for a while. And they knew, hey, man, this is going to be our next center. I remember watching a preseason game when he was a rookie going, damn, they got another outstanding center. And sure enough, you know, 2-3 years later, Jason Kelce retires, gets into, you know, his podcast and doing the ESPN stuff. Damn, Juergens moves right back over to center, and they're on lockdown. So they've got the strongest offensive line, the best offensive line in football, and they said, you know what, we're just going to continue to add to it and develop it. And they've done that, man. I remember in the NFC Championship game, I think Juergens is out, and Landon Dickerson moves over to left from left guard to center, and another left guard comes in as a backup. I don't even know what the guy's name is. And I'm watching him. I'm going, the dude is dispensing justice. He's kicking ass. And then Landon Dickerson gets hurt, and so Cam Juergens goes back in. Like, it's like what they have done and the way they have continued to draft guys, you know, not because they need them, but because they want them. Man, I tell you what a job. I'm 100% with you. That dude has just done a phenomenal job when it comes to drafting and building his team.
Mark, we've seen this with other guys before, but Mekhi Becton, okay, early first-round pick, had some injuries with the Jets. He was considered a major bust. Leaves there. He's never played guard before. Never. In his entire life. All of a sudden, he goes with the Eagles, and he got some coaching and some really good coaching because I think Coach Jeff is – he may be the best offensive line coach in pro football today. And look how dominant he was for them this year. Now, again, he's a free agent, and so – you know, you're going to have to make a choice here of do you play Mekhi? Do you play a Milton Williams? Do you play a Zach Bond? Because you got some high-priced guys on that team already, but you've drafted so well. You got to take your pick here. But the Mekhi Becton story, because I know you watch a lot of offensive line play.
Yeah, he's – like what he's done is incredible, and Stoutland is amazing. And it reminds me of a story back when I was working at ESPN, and the Arizona Cardinals took a guy by the name of Leonard Davis out of Texas. You might remember him, 6'8", 365, 370 pounds. That dude was just unbelievable. And he was like a turnstile at the tackle position, man, just getting run over, run through, run around. And he was really bad, and I remember, you know, being really critical on TV. And then I'm at the Super Bowl, at a Super Bowl party, and, you know, I mean, I'm long since retired, and I'd lost a bunch of weight. I was only like 225. And here he comes storming across the, you know, part. I see him from the distance, and he's beelining to me. I'm like, oh, shoot, I might get my ass kicked. he looked mad. I was like, uh-oh. And he comes storming over to me. And to his credit, he goes, he was a free agent. He goes, listen, man, you've ridden me hard on television. You've been very critical. He goes, what do I need to do? And I said, let me tell you something, Leonard. I go, you're too big to play tackle. And no offense, but you're just not quick footed enough. I go, but if you slide into guard, if I were you, I would tell my agent, there is no way you're going to play tackle. You just want to play guard. You want to move somewhere and play guard. Dallas signs him to be a guard, and he goes to like 4 straight Pro Bowls and is all pro. And you know, not that I had anything to do with it, but it was just like, dude, you're out of position. And here, you know, he's a bust. Mekhi Becton's a bust with the Jets. And what do they do? He's a bust with the Jets, and they say, hey, man, we're going to move you inside, and we're going to coach you. And, you know, Jeff Stoutland, who's the best in the business, he goes, I'm going to coach you. And that dude, I mean, that dude has been great for them. And I'm just, I mean, I couldn't be happier for that guy, you know, because there's so many times that's how you're a bust and that's how your career ends. Because you're in the wrong position, you're in the wrong spot, you're not getting the right coaching. And to find it and to have the success that he had, man, I just couldn't be happier for him.
Yeah, he's done a just absolutely tremendous job. Mark, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always appreciate your time and insights, bud. Great stuff.
Absolutely, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Mark.
Alrighty. That was NFL Odyssey Insider Mark Schlereff, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. Come back. We'll have triple option here. Myself along with Steve Geller, Charlie Long, right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dottiglia along with Steve Geller, Charlie Long. Guys, it's our triple option feature. Steven, I give it to you first.
Well, guys, we're looking at a first-time head coaching hire, 36 years young in Kellen Moore, and a lot of folks are flipping out for the fact, too, he was the last coach that was hired during this year's cycle, and that's not necessarily an awful thing. Looking back just to 2022, the first hire was Nathaniel Hackett and Matt Eberflus. That was January 27th.
Oof. Terrible.
The last hire coming February 16th, Kevin O'Connell. 2023, the first hire. January 26th, Frank Reich. The last hires, February 14th, Shane Steichen, Jonathan Gannon. 2024, Antonio Pierce, the first hire on January 19th. The last hire was February 3rd, Dan Quinn. And now this year, first hire of the season, the coaching cycle, I should say, January 12th, Mike Vrabel, and then the last one being Kellen Moore on February the 11th. So don't be too quick to judge this because the Saints waited it out to the end of the Super Bowl to grab their head coach. We've seen some other successful coaching hires happen that were the last ones in the cycle. It doesn't mean that, you know, that nobody wanted to come here.
Steve, the other thing, too, is I remember we talked to Kelsey last week, and she was like, she reminded us that, you know, Quinn was the last hire, and she said, but the other part was they had Jaden Daniels, and y'all ain't getting him either anytime soon. So, yeah, it was a quick one on that one. Charlie?
Guys, I'm going with the news. Mike, you brought it up in the last hour. Brandon Ingram's contract extension with the Toronto Raptors. It's a three-year, $120 million extension with Toronto. And, you know, from the reporters that we spoke to, it makes sense for them to lock him down now and get it over with so they don't have to worry about it in the offseason. And for Toronto, which has historically struggled to kind of bring in those free agents, they kind of just got one of the premium names that would have entered the free agency market. They scoop them up ahead of the trade deadline and then hand them that type of extension. $40 million per for Brandon Ingram, guys. And, you know, we were talking all offseason about how he wanted 52 from the Pelicans. He wanted that max deal, and it was never going to happen. Now, if you're looking at Toronto, they have a lot of money tied up into that roster, guys, between RJ Barrett and Emmanuel Quickley and Scottie Barnes. How good really are they? Even in the Eastern Conference, with adding Brandon Ingram to that roster, what's their ceiling? I mean, that's my kind of question. And I don't want this to be a hate on Brandon Ingram part of my triple option, but...
But he gets to be the man there. He's
Scotty
the
Barnes is probably the man, but he's like the Robin.
Robin.
Right, exactly. So, I understand it. They lock him down. They didn't have to try and woo him in free agency. They make the trade with the Pelicans. Now they hand him that extension, which was always going to happen. Because you don't trade a first-round pick, a future second-round pick, and a couple of cost-controlled pieces to not re-sign a guy just for a rental when you're basically in the play-in race like Toronto is right now. So Brandon Ingram signs a deal that pays him $40 million per with the Toronto Raptors after all the discussion in the offseason that he wouldn't take the max deal or that the Pelicans wouldn't hand him that max deal. So he's found his landing spot for the foreseeable future.
Guys, 35 years ago today, and I can remember it like it was yesterday. HBO, Buster Douglas beats Mike Tyson. And he KOs him in the 10th round in Tokyo. I think it was in the Tokyo Dome. And wins the title. Mike had never lost. I think he was 38-0. And then, bang, he gets beat by Buster Douglas. And you think about it. I did see the Miracle on Ice. It was a semifinal game. Was not the final game. A lot of people think that was the final game in the Olympics. It wasn't when the Americans upset the Russians. I still think that's the biggest upset of all time in my lifetime to watch. Super Bowl III was a big one when Namath and the Jets were 19-point underdogs to the Colts. But Buster Douglas to beat Mike Tyson. Because Mike at that time seemed almost unbeatable by anybody that was going to get in the ring with him. And he intimidated everybody. But once he got to the fifth, sixth round, Mike didn't really train too great for the fight, and Buster Douglas caught him. That is a big-time upset in the history of sports 35 years ago today. And I can remember watching it on HBO saying, man, what the world happened here? But then you found out there was a lot of behind-the-scenes coordinating and supervising by Mike Tyson. Didn't really train too hard for that fight. We'll be back to finish it up here on hour number two of Sports Talk right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Finishing up here in hour number two of Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Steve Geller, Charlie Long. Steve, you got Jeff Nowak at 6:35, and then the big guy himself, Ben McDonald from ESPN SEC Network, covering baseball, talking about the Tigers and all that talent in the SEC.
We're getting ready, man. Football's over. We got college baseball cranking up this weekend. Can't wait.
We'll be back with more Sports Talk right after this news break on the Big 870.